You are now listening to a premium 40 production. You need the Jesus.
Oh, I forgot to say niggas. Brandon, I forgot to say that you niggas need the Jesus.
Yo, what is good, everybody? Welcome back to another premium episode of the Where's My 40 Acres podcast, and I am joined by Cook. That Cook.
What's up?
What's good, man?
One and only. How you doing?
I'm chilling. It's been a while. You haven't been on the podcast in a while, man.
I know. We're gonna work on all of that. I'm working on getting myself back to all my podcast friends. Mm-hmm. It won't be, excuse me, too much longer before you see me.
Okay.
In these streets.
All right.
And I did put something up before we went to Hawaii. So there's a little something out there for the people if they're interested with Stephanie Sunshine.
Y'all make sure
I love recording with her.
Y'all make sure y'all go check that out. Because I'm sure the podcasts that you have to get out before, like, you go do ratchet shit are always the better ones. I've learned over the years, which is why I'm cramming a bunch of podcasts in this weekend before I hit up San Diego for Comic-Con.
Yes, you're doing Comic-Con. I saw that. I was like, y'all do that every year. I think that's cool.
Yes. So I'm preparing to lay it all out on the feed because I ain't doing shit for y'all niggas while we there. Like, that's how it is. Niggas need breaks.
Okay.
Vacays are real. I'm using my days. I'm about to use my time.
Sometimes having an audience is like having extra children. You gotta stop and feed them before you go do what you need to do.
Right.
You don't want to be a raggedy parent.
It's like, let me check y'all water bowl before I leave. All right, y'all good. You're thirsty.
Make sure y'all got something to eat before I leave this house.
Yeah, y'all thirsty quenched. Actually, so Cook is here because Stranger Things season 3 dropped on July 4th because Netflix is all about that paper. And they understand what they need to do and how to do it sometimes. They still did Bright, but that's fine because they still giving us Stranger Things. And I needed somebody to talk to about season 3 because it was a lot and it was great at the same time. It was 8 episodes of just pure fun. So the first question, Cook, is did you binge all 8 episodes back to back?
I did, and then I finished the last 2 the next day because the read also came out, so I did stop to listen to them on the 4th of July. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. It's 4th of July. I stayed in my pajamas because your president did not give federal employees that Friday off. He's a hoe. And so what I did was I just did like some self-care, and I watched it. I woke up early, and I started. And this season was so good. There's still some things I want them to wrap up, and I need to go back and watch it again because I need to connect some dots. But overall, phenomenal. They really delivered, and the kids, it just seemed they pulled more out of them this season. They gave me way more. I'm here for Dustin and Steve's bromance. I am team Erica first and foremost. That little girl deserves a spinoff. I want her to run around calling everyone a nerd and talking about child endangerment. I don't care what she does, just give that little girl her things now. And I am just heartbroken for Joyce. I need them to stop fucking with that lady, truly. Truly.
Mm-hmm.
They need to leave Joyce alone. Let her have a good man for more than 2 episodes, please. I'm begging you.
So
just,
yeah, for me, I've always been into Stranger Things. I am a kid of the 80s culture, everything. So any reference, like the whole, and for y'all, this is definitely gonna have spoilers in it. The whole we're being chased by the Terminator shit for most of this season, I thought was phenomenal. I was like, this is great. Knock off Arnold. is amazing. They even took like scenes directly from Terminator films and other Arnold Swole muscle films. And I'm just like, bruh, I'm feeling this. This is insane. Conversations about the whole Back to the Future conversation while high, I thought was great.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and then my favorite movie of all time, The Neverending Story, got a shout out and homage. And I sang at the top of my, I don't give a fuck.
It didn't
I
get a shout out. It absolutely got a homage.
I'm not sorry. I regret nothing.
That was that. I was, I'm not going to lie. When that shit came on, I was like, I know Cook is like feeling this right now. Like this. And I was cackling. Like I was on my couch in tears at 2:30 in the morning. And Ashley was like, why are you laughing so hard? I was like, these motherfuckers just broke out in the whole first verse of the Never Ending Story song. And I am done. Like, the fact.
That's amazing. The fact, and like, I sang. I was right there. Oh my God.
It's just like you're watching this dreadful moment.
Girlfriend was real.
It, like, people are about to die. Like, Hopper is like, give me the fucking code. Give me the mathematical number. And they break out into the Never-Ending Story song over this walkie-talking, and everybody is listening. And this was just their way of showcasing that the actor who plays Dustin can sing, because that's always been like a thing. Gatton can sing. And I was like, wow, they really capitalized on that in the best way.
They did. And it wasn't cheesy either. It actually it was made cute. Sense.
Like, it was cute. It was like, like, even though we about to die, this is a cute little moment, and we finally get to meet Dustin's little girlfriend, who is super nerdy and perfect for him. Like, she's going to keep him in check.
She was hotter than Phoebe Cates, and that cracked me up. Because I was like, I need to see this child. And she didn't look anything like Phoebe Cates, but I got it. It was cute.
Right, he's a kid.
I was like, he was like, she's hotter than Phoebe Cates, and I was like, look at the reference. Oh my God, it's so 80s.
There's a lot going on.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High even got a shout out.
they have to capitalize on those things. They like the stuff they did with the attire when they dressed Elle up this season, and they had her going on like the whole 80s shopping montage.
The mall, Starcourt Mall.
Yeah, they did a lot. This like you can tell that the Duffer brothers and the writers on this show care about not only the story surrounding these kids, but just this era of Americanism in general. Like, they are stuck in it.
Only thing missing was a Tiffany concert at the mall.
I see. Well, playing some music in the background would have helped a little bit. Like, just playing the music over the loudspeaker in the mall probably would have helped that a bit. But I get what you're saying.
Because remember, that used to be the thing. Like, you go to the mall, like your favorite, like when celebrities wanted a break, they took them to the mall. And then all hell broke loose. And I think that stopped, that whole process stopped with Justin Bieber, because I think a riot broke out with Justin Bieber when he was like first starting out, when he did Baby. So that was like, the only thing, if they did that, I probably would have went ape shit about it. That'd have been great nostalgia for me, because I remember going to the mall to see the Sesame Street characters. I saw Gordon at the mall when I was a little girl. I remember. I do. And that was a thing. And I was little. But I remember I got an autographed picture from Gordon from Sesame Street. And we went to the mall. They were coming to the mall to see them. And that was like a slice of Americana there. Like, you go to the mall. And then I really appreciated Karen when she tried to do her journalism story. She was like, oh, no, let's talk about, you know, what the mall is doing to small businesses. And, you know, like, we've had like five mom and pop shops go out of business, and they want to talk about that. Like, that was also something in the 80s, too. Like, they really kind of, it was a lot of things going on.
I mean, I get it. Like, the mall in the 80s was Walmart in the 2000s and the 90s. Right. It absolutely makes sense. Because Walmart put them all out of business. So, you know, it happens. Yeah. Capitalism, my niggas. Capitalism. So let me get the premise of this season out. So essentially we closed up the whole... No, you're good. You're good. This is how it's supposed to roll. We're just supposed to freeform talk. They closed up the whole last season. Elle put her all into it, and she shut that shit down. But, of course, white people, no matter what language they speak, don't know how to leave shit alone.
Right.
And this season.
And now, so was the Russians, was that homage to Red Dawn?
That was, yes, absolutely. Like Cold War, Red Dawn era. Russians are evil.
Spies or, like us.
Yes, absolutely. Like, and I'm glad
I don't know if you guys remember that movie.
I'm glad they did that because that was a huge thing for films and for like news and just for the American mindset, social culture then. So for them not to make a reference and take a jab at it and just kind of show the ignorance of us while also making fun of, look what the Russians are doing. They're doing some sneaky shit. But we was just doing that like two seasons ago. That was us. They're really not much different than us. Ha ha. They trying to do some unnecessary shit like we were. And at least they not tormenting kids. Like, at least they not stealing and taking the powers out of kids for this shit. They create a whole world of orphans that are soon to become the X-Men in 20 years.
So, okay, because white people ruin everything. I'm just saying.
They be acting like they didn't do it either. It wasn't us.
That's the part right there that pisses you off.
You did.
They acting like they didn't do it.
Not only was it y'all, but y'all trademarked it. Like, come on, bro. Y'all know how y'all do business. Get the fuck out of here. So, yeah, let's see. Their premise that they're saying on Wikipedia is, in the summer of 85 in Hawkins, the new Star Court Mall has become the focal point of the town, driving other stores out of business. Nancy, like you said, pointed this out. Sheriff Hopper is conflicted over 11 and Mike's budding relationship. All they do is kiss for 4 hours. While Joyce considers moving out of Hawkins for better prospects, leaving the state of the children's friendships and her own relationship with Hopper in the air, which doesn't really exist because they don't have a relationship yet. However, strange power fluctuations trigger Will's awareness of something out otherworldly in 11 and Max, since something is off about the town's residents. And despite having closed the portal to the Upside Down, which they actually didn't, fears that they are all in danger from it still. That was weirdly worded. So the first thing is, this is absolutely like Body Snatchers or like some Cocoon type shit going on. And I like how they did that dark element for that. Or like it's kind of like, okay, this is like Mimic. They're really going here with the thing. Like, and they made sure to show the thing in the background.
They did. They switched it to like an invasion of, it's like an invasion of the Body Snatcher / alien mashup.
Yeah.
You see them get snatched and they come back and they're not the same. And then you see the thing, was it a Gorgon, whatever it was, attached to the face.
Well, it's not a Gorgon. The Gorgon is the little animal that has like the opening plant face. This is a new creature. This really is like a creature based off the thing creature.
It was something. It was like a mashup of like the dog and arms and tentacles. Like it was a lot.
I enjoyed it.
I liked it. It gave me just enough fright in sci-fi. Just enough.
Also, I think they did something that they didn't do hard enough last season. Like, they kind of they handheld it, but they really didn't let it go free. They made evil, what's the name? Like, the brother. They made him evil. Oh, and I was like, he was supposed to be evil. Yeah, he was evil last, like, he was a racist, fucking
violent asshole.
He's got the what is the haircut called?
The mullet.
He's got the evil mullet.
The Rob Lowe mullet something.
Oh, God. Yeah, and I'm like, yo, thank you for making him super fucking evil, because he was evil last season, and y'all tried to act like that was just because, like, racism still kind of exists. No, he's an evil, abusive, violent fucking person. I'm glad he's the villain. Like, make him the villain, please.
He was the perfect minion for the entity.
Absolutely. He's got a lot of darkness in his heart.
He could attract people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the part right there where, you know, he almost got Will's mom. She didn't show.
So that's Mike's mom, right?
Mike's mom. Sorry.
Yeah, Mike's mom is out there just slinging it left and right. And we saw that last season that she was trying to kind of give it up to.
I mean, she, typical housewife, she's still a looker. She's still got her body, but her husband, you know, may not tell her as much how appreciated she is, but deep down she loves her family, so she's a hooker with a heart of gold.
I get it.
And I don't fault her for that.
But she was really ready to bust it open in the cleaning supply room. And I was like, man.
Listen, being a mom is boring. I get it. But just the same, like, hey sis, calm down.
Right.
Just the same. Sorry.
It is what it is.
I'm sorry, but they were really going to the pool with their kids every day looking at the lifeguard. I was like, ladies, pull it together. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So this isn't going to be like an episode rundown. Like, I think that stuff gets pretty tedious when you start doing like that. If you're not covering it as a series podcast by episode, then I don't see the reason to sit in one episode and just break it all down per episode.
This is for people who binged.
Yeah, this is absolutely... If you have not watched this, you should not be listening to this, or you should not care about this show and you just enjoy listening to us talk about shows that you give a fuck about because we're good at talking about shows. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I just want to go by character and just talk about what happened with them this season and, you know, just some other elements of... The turnaround, and I'll start this off by saying I walked into this season thinking this was the final season of Stranger Things. I don't know where I got that from, but I swear I heard it somewhere. And immediately when it ended, I was like, this definitely can't be the last. Like, if they wanted to end it here, they could. Like, it's a possibility the way they did it. I get it. It's kind of like the way Cloak and Dagger ended this season. It's like, wait, so what now? Because you could really just ride off into the sunset after this ending. And let them, like, they're just going to go on with their lives and whatever, whatever. But from what I'm reading, the Duffer Brothers are saying they're definitely trying to do season 4. And ultimately, there could be a season 5. And that would be the end. They're like, for sure, 5 would be the end. They wouldn't go beyond that.
I'm ready for this to continue. And I, when it ended, I was like, this can't be the end. Like, I need more. From the show, especially because they did not wrap up the Russia storyline. Like, I still don't understand how the Russians came to be involved, why they were opening up the portal or trying to open up the portal with the laser or whatever the blast ray, whatever that thing was. And I really wanted to know, like, what was their end game?
I agree that they're definitely going to go into that because they left off with the Russians in the end in the final scene, the after credits scene.
Right, and they're still feeding people to the... Now, that was the Gorgon.
That was the Gorgon, yep. Which they hinted that there was a Gorgon.
But I'm like, what's happening? What's happening? I need more answers.
So there wasn't a lot of Gorgons in this one because we have so many, and they constantly show the flashbacks of Rudy being attacked by a Gorgon in season 2 because that is what Will's mom, Joyce, is tripping about. But, in this season, they hinted that there was a Gorgon because we just never saw it. Like, you know, Erica saw a cage and was like, yo, like, what would this hold? And he's like, maybe, I don't know. And she's like, I think it would hold a Gorgon. So let me go get this electric stick because we're going to need some protection out this bitch.
She did. She's like, well, we need this.
But, I mean, like, and again, for spoilers type shit, I'm just letting y'all know, like, they supposedly kill Hopper, but here's the thing, at the end credit clip they're like, don't feed the American to them, and I'm like, oh my god, that's Hopper. So they're saying that either that's Hopper or that's L's father. That's what I'm reading online. Those are people's speculations.
You know, I didn't think Hopper was dead. I didn't feel like he was dead at the end.
If they don't show it, it didn't happen. And I've used this same theory with The Walking Dead and everything else. If they do not show a character actually dying, who is a prominent, important character, they are not dead.
They showed Bob dying.
Absolutely.
They showed Barb dying. And excuse me, just sidebar, I still demand justice
for Barb
and Bob because they were cool. And I feel that we deserve more as an audience from them. They did Barb so dirty. Karen is not a good friend still. I have not all the way forgiven Karen for how she just left Barb hanging to be with Steve. I'm sorry.
You say Karen, are you talking about Nancy?
Oh, Nancy. I'm sorry. Why do I keep calling her Karen?
I don't know. Like, you called her Karen before, and I was like, who is Karen?
Oh, Nancy. Karen, Nancy, those names are interchangeable.
I mean, they are. Since their roles are interchangeable, but I like
Nancy because they kept calling her Nancy Drew. Oh, duh.
Right. I always thought that Nancy was an annoying character, but I more enjoyed her character, her drive this season. And I like that the Duffer Brothers. I guess we can talk. So let's just start off with her character. Let's just start off with her character because they kind of open up with the whole see how women got treated before we had women's rights and like women's laws and shit. Like, this is before Lorena Bobbitted. Like, this is real.
The 80s was hella sexist. still in they the treat workplace. Her like this is pre 9 to 5 before Dolly and Liz and all them. I mean, Jane Fonda and what was her, Liz Tomlin? Oh, what is her name?
Liz Taylor? Liz what? What are you talking about?
No. Oh man, how did I forget her name? Dolly Parton, Jane Fonda, and what was her name? Tomlin. She's on Frankie and
Lily Tomlin. Lily Tomlin.
Yes. Yep. They did 9 to 5. She was in 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton.
I wouldn't remember, but she's on the Netflix show now with Fonda.
Oh shit. Now I gotta look it up. 9 to 5, the movie. Who the fuck was in that movie? 9 to 5. You remember 9 to 5, the movie?
No.
Because that's really what it was about with Dabney Coleman. And they were doing all the work and he was taking all the credit and he was holding them down. Yeah, that's it. Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, and Dolly Parton. Okay, I got it right. It came out in 1980.
I'm going to have to check this out now because those are three actresses I would love to see in a film together and I didn't realize they had one. So let me go.
Oh, you will love working 9 to 5. What a way to make a live. Excuse me. Anyway.
Right.
yes. We see Nancy having to, and it was interesting because she was telling her boyfriend, she was like, they love you. You know, they're waiting up late. You're like, you can be late. I cannot. You know, because she's trying to work in the mailroom and he's a photographer. So he just kind of walks in and he just gets to go do his thing. But she has to deliver coffee, sandwiches, and be a gopher, which is something that a lot of women had to do in the office, you know, because they were you were never taken seriously. And I think that's and it's interesting because now as a woman in the workplace, that's something I've always fought against. When they tried to give me administrative duties or tasks, I always said, no, I can't do that.
Yeah,
I cannot. I'm not a secretary. I'm not an admin. And I've said that out of my face to my boss. Like, I am not an admin. I will not be doing this work.
It's crazy, right? Because she did try to explain to Will's brother, whose name I'm Jonathan. She did try to explain to Jonathan her situation. She was like, they love you, which is interesting because there's no point in this whole season where they show that those guys even know who the fuck Jonathan is. Right. They never interact with him. They don't pat him on the back. They're not inviting him out to drinks or lunch or anything. They're like, hey, Nancy, get Jonathan a sandwich, too. Right. Which I feel like that would have driven it home harder if they'd had a moment in that film where, like, she also had to bring him lunch and he was like felt guilty about it. Right. Then he would have really gotten
it.
But it's crazy that her perspective was they love you. No, it's not that they love him. They just really are focused on treating you like shit because of the way you look, because of your age. Like they just want somebody around them that's quote unquote cute and young that they can treat like shit to make them feel like kings in their castle at work. Mm-hmm. So they made them like really, really trash. Like they weren't kind of trash. They were savagely trash. Like immediately when you meet those guys, you're like, that guy needs to die and that guy needs to die and that guy needs to die. And this season will fucking suck if they don't die.
They resurrected one of the Busey sons.
Is that a Busey son?
That was Gary Busey's son. Look at his teeth. Those are Busey teeth.
Yeah, immediately I recognize. I see it now. As soon as you said Busey, I was like, that's why that guy looks familiar. Okay.
And I'm like, that was typical dude bro 80s jerk face.
No, absolutely. Like nothing they said was ever funny. Like I never understand that. Laughing at a bunch of jokes in a room full of dudes making unfunny comments and humor is just crazy to me. I don't get it. But because you're all douches, you're like, we must encourage the douchery. Like, fuck out of here, bruh. So, and I like that they kind of gave her the Lois Lane for this film. She's like, I don't really need, like, she doesn't really have a Superman. She's just really on, she doesn't have any fear in her heart. Jonathan absolutely has fear, and he's a dude, and he's dealing with his own personal battles. Gotta remember, he just won her from Steve last season, and it took a lot out of him. That was, like, the bravest thing he's ever done. So for him to be following behind her and doing this research on these killer fucking rats. And I absolutely did not see where they were going with the rats angle. I was like, I don't get it. And then when I figured it out, I was like, yo, this is really, really bad. This is really fucking bad.
It started with the rats. They infected the rats. And then they were like, I was like, Nancy stopped just short of giving that rat mouth to mouth. Like, son, she really was rude about that.
They were
rat.
Both weird.
Like,
about
look
the
at
rat.
It. I was like, yeah, it looks fucked up.
Like, they're like, something, I don't know, man. It's something different about this rat. And the rat literally is in the cage running from wall to wall, banging his head into the metal. I'm like, yeah, that rat is not a rat anymore. You know, like, just how about, because at one point they were like, we should take it down to the office. I was like, exactly. You should have taken it with you to show people that this rat is not ratting right. And we might have a problem. Plus, that's based on like some real societal shit. That's a real way that people have talked about, like, spreading plagues in other countries to kill off people using rats, because they are everywhere. And if a motherfucker ever figures out how to, like, control cockroaches, we're fucked. Like, that is the end.
Oh my god,
that is the end. And rats are one step above cockroaches. All right, like,
because that's really how we all die. The roaches rise up.
You see, they're invincible now. Did you see the news reports going around that they're like one step away from being invincible?
Listen, oh my god, I can't take it. I can't take this. This is just it's officially too much now.
It's
like everything is resistant. Antibiotics is no longer becoming a thing. Oh god.
Yeah, we're trying to kill ourselves. We're close to the end of our era. I think we're like maybe a century or two away.
We had a good run. Yeah. We had a good run, guys.
Yeah, it's turned into a sprint now to the finish line, and I need everybody to slow down. Like, I need everybody to slow down. I want my grandkids to have something. Like, slow down, calm down.
I don't even see the point of having.
I feel you.
Grandkids at this point.
But yeah, so Nancy gets on the case. She pretty much breaks it. They discover the old lady whose name I cannot remember, but I thought that was perfect casting.
Oh, Mrs. Whomever. Yeah, that kind of gave me, was that a Gremlins throwback or no?
Okay, which part? Callback? Why do you think, why would
when
you?
They, because I think in the Gremlins, old people were in peril.
No, in the first Gremlins, a lot of old people died because that's what was in that town. But actually,
Mrs. Deagle died.
I think you're right, but it's not the scene that you're thinking about. I think the scene where she has the cage covered and she says, "You want to see one? I caught one," is a throwback to when Preach had a gremlin in the cage, or Gizmo wanted him in a cage in his office before he died because the thing shot him in the butt.
Because he got the sandwich and ate it.
Right.
Metamorphosed.
So that might be a callback to that, actually.
Yeah. I felt like there was so much that I needed. I'm going to go back and watch it again. But there
was a lot.
But when they went
to that too.
See the rat, and you saw the rat explode.
Yes, and turn into the goo. Because we didn't see that before. We saw them all explode and turn into the goo. But what we didn't see was that the goo was alive and aware. And changed into something else.
The goo was sentient.
Yes.
But so that's the part right there that I feel I want to get the connection, like, between the thing that we had this season, the Gorgons, the dog that Dustin had last season. And you saw them kind of like, you saw the people going down into the wherever Billy was taking them. They turn into the goo, and the goo would turn into the dog. Right?
No, what do you mean? The goo turned into them. So I see you're calling it a dog. You mean the creature that... Well, so
remember the one Dustin had last year, and they were like, get rid of that thing, and he's like, no, it's
my
dog.
That's that was the Gorgon. So the Gorgon kind of plays the gremlins in this, because Dustin keeps one, it eats that fertilizer, whatever, and it starts morphing into something worse, right? So it starts off like,
the chemical,
it's a little thing, and it turns into something worse. So those are the Gorgons, but this new creature that we see, this spider-like creature thing, is more, I feel like it's more a callback to the actual thing in the thing, and that this one, because you notice, like, it breaks off, and all the parts of it that break off are still alive, and they run back to the host. They run back to the main source, so it's all connected by one thread, despite the fact
that
it's a multi-threading creature.
So... what I want to know is the thread between what's attacking the town. Like, we found a little bit more about its purpose this season, which is he wants to build the town. Like,
He wants to take over the world. He wants to destroy humans and completely take over the world. Which I get it because he's trapped here. Well, I think the Gorgons are not directly associated with this creature. I think they are creatures from that world. I think this creature is another more advanced creature, a more human-like advanced creature from that world. Because when it takes over Billy and it starts talking through him and talking through all of the people to the kids and everybody else trying to kill them, that's when I was like, oh, we've hit a whole nother level. This is a problem. This is absolutely a problem. Because these aren't just monsters anymore. These are beings. Like, he's a being. At this point, I'm just going to call him a being. He's not even really a monster. He looks like a monster. He encompasses the fear of a monster. But he's an actual being. He's another life form. Like, another competent life form. Like humanity, but with powers.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was, did we wrap up Karen pretty good? Because Karen did a lot of
Nancy,
fighting this season.
Stop calling that girl Karen.
Oh, Nancy, I'm sorry.
Are you watching Daredevil? Is that where this is coming from? Is this coming from Daredevil?
Oh my God. First of all, so they surprised me when they dropped the last season of Jess Jones on Netflix. And I have my fingers crossed that they finished Daredevil and Punisher before they move over to this Disney, whatever thing about it platform that I refuse to watch.
I don't know
because
why.
I'm protesting.
Fuck that shit.
Netflix, whatever. But I'm just saying. And yeah, I don't know why I want to call this child, but Karen and Nancy. So never mind.
They're both reporters. They're both journalists. So I see the connection. If that's why you're calling her Karen.
No, I don't know why. I watched the show. I know her name is Nancy. They called her Nancy Drew. I have the reference, but Karen is just like right there. I can't explain it.
At least you're not calling her Trish. It's fine.
He's like, stop calling her Karen. You're right. Cause I'm confusing the people, but no, she was fighting a lot more this season.
She's strong. She's a strong character.
A lot stronger as a character. A lot stronger, which was really good. Because she was never really weak or anything like that.
Just
she just
annoying.
Was whiny.
Yeah, whiny is perfect. She was whiny.
Yeah. She really... And I think she had a lot of naivete to her development where she was... the pretty girl who had the guy and she had friends and she didn't really want for anything until her world was shaken up. And then of course she had to kind of adjust and that caused the whining because it's like, I'm used to having things a certain way. Like she just didn't handle the change well. She never thought she'd be on the other side of that. And another thing they did this season that I really liked was that they had the core group together, like with Lucas, Max, Will, L and Mike, and then you see Dustin and
Steve.
What's his name? Sean?
Steve.
Steve. Sorry, Steve. Their bromance is budding and growing and developing, and I'm here for this. And I did, and at first I was like, I don't know if I need a new character, but the new chick who worked with Steve.
So I'm trying to find her name. I'm trying to find her name, and I'm not sure.
She was funny. She was like, how many children do you know?
Yeah, he was kind of a, he's a bit too, was it Robin? Was her name Robin?
I think.
Let me see.
Hold on, Google.
It would make sense if it was. This one is 20 years old. Says it's an actress. Robin in the third season of Stranger Things. I'm thinking that was Robin.
Okay.
That age works.
Yeah.
So Maya Hawke would be Robin. Let me look at the picture real quick and make sure so I don't want to be calling this girl. Because her character is very important this season too.
See, there was a Karen.
Yeah, her mom, Karen Wheeler, is Nancy and Mike's mom.
Yeah. That's not Maya Hawke is not her.
Who?
Was that her?
Yeah, that Maya was Robin. Hawk, yep. Maya Hawke is Robin. That's Robin.
She looks weird in this picture they have of her.
It's the one of the pictures I've seen. I can tell it's her, but they definitely like she looks like Uma Thurman's sister in this picture.
Her ears. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yep. So
they were definitely hidden
with the hair and the hat.
Maya. They were hidden with her hair. But this picture I'm seeing, she has her hair pulled back. I'm like, God damn, I didn't know her ears.
Yeah, we're looking at the same picture then. We're definitely looking at the same picture.
Yeah, Maya Hawke. Yeah, Robin, that's her. I appreciated her after a while because she really started to get in there and figure things out for them when they were kind of stuck, like with the riddle, when they translated the Russian.
The Russian riddle. That was cool. Well, this is the season of strong women characters because mm-hmm. Joyce has always been strong. She's always been a driving mm-hmm. force for saving Will and these kids ultimately mm-hmm. and pushing Hopper mm-hmm. and the other men who are like, oh, no, you're just a woman. What do you know? To going, oh, shit, mm-hmm. she was right. And we need to bring the big guns to the point where now she's respected for that. And she doesn't look so in the first season, she looked hella crazy. And I liked how they grew her. They developed her character's actual look mm-hmm. to not look crazy anymore. She's more like a Sarah Connors now.
Yeah, and that's she knows what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things that endeared me to her in the first season is that she never gave up. She was like, this is my son. He's there. I know it. She hung lights. She bought all the phone cords. She did what she had to do.
Right.
And that was pretty badass as a mom.
No, but so since we got on Robin, because I was going to jump to Steve, we can jump from Robin to Steve. Robin's character, like you said, is like she's another strong character. She deciphers the Russian code. When she's high, mm-hmm. she's hilarious and she continues to talk shit, which shows her lack of fear. She jokes, mm-hmm. she's an outsider looking in on the relationship Steve has with these kids in general and all the craziness going on. And she's never mm-hmm. like flustered by it and she's never ready to run away from it. She's like, cool, we're being attacked by Russians, which turns into cool, we're being attacked by a monster from a different dimension, and she's still here. And she's still willing mm-hmm. to fight. Like, she's not like, well, I'm out, y'all. This doesn't involve me. And I hope y'all save the world. Like, she sticks around. And then they introduce the fact, because they build this, oh, her and Steve have chemistry shit the whole season. And I kept looking at her and I kept thinking, I don't know if this is accurate. Like, her something about her character does not seem like she's more.
She cares about.
Right. Not to that degree. Right. I don't like they made her tell that story, which was supposed to throw people off. And even after that, I was like, the way she dresses, the way she carries herself, her nerd, like how heavy her nerd is mm-hmm. seems like a different type of air. So when she comes out to Steve, I was like, there you go. That oh my God, that makes sense. That all of this makes sense. And because they work much better as really, really good friends.
Yeah, and it was really not necessary to make them be in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that.
Also, it made Steve like have to continue to grow up because we see where Steve has ended up after being the cool hair Harrington mm-hmm. in high school. Mm-hmm. Or is that his name? What is his last name?
Harrington.
It's Harrington. Yeah, Hair Harrington. Steve Hare Harrington. Right. So it makes sense that his character is struggling. He's working at a scoop shop in the mall. He's not going to college because his grades are probably trash. Oh, and his dad's punishing him, so he's making him work instead of giving him an allowance. Mm-hmm. And yep. Steve has to kind of transition into adulthood the same way that Nancy and Jonathan have had to transition into adulthood. And I thought that was a great that was a great example of how it's high school is cool till you out of high school, bruh. Like. All that, I was cool in high school bullshit. Who are you again? We in the real world now. And they have, like, she has the strikeout board for Steve in the office where she's like, he's 7-0, or he's 0-7. With pulling girls mm-hmm. that are probably still in high school who probably looked up to him a year ago, but now they see that he's an adult in the real world. He's disgusting. He's an old man. Even though he's only, like, a year older than him, he's an old, dirty man. That's Noob's ice cream for them. And him, like you said, him and Dustin's relationship is hilarious. Like when they see each other again after the whole summer, he's like, Dustin. And I'm like, wow, they're in love. This is cool.
They've got a handshake. They've got things to say, you know, like look at you. And that for me, I felt was endearing. I really appreciated their friendship because it was based in you're a hero in my eyes. And he's like, you're a cool guy in my eyes. You know, even though Steve is like now nerd adjacent.
Not really. He's like the cool. A little bit.
You don't think he's nerd adjacent?
I would say he's nerd adjacent, but he doesn't have any nerd qualities. Like, he literally is nerd adjacent. He stands next to a super nerd. But outside of that, he is not... None of that nerdism has rubbed off on him at all. He absolutely does not care.
Because his actual nerdism, dorkness, comes from him being a clueless male.
Which is not nerdism. That's just maleism at that point, right? Like, he could easily be one of those guys down at the paper if he was hanging around the wrong crowd. So him hanging around Dustin is the best thing that's happened to him. And then Steve is a person that you need to surround him with good people to make him realize that he is a good person and needs to stay a good person.
Right.
Because if you surrounded him with a bunch of Billies, he'd be the one in the background watching Billies beat the shit out of people and being like, I don't know if this is right. But he wouldn't step up to Billy because Billy would whoop his ass.
Did he not have words with Billy last season?
He did, and I can't remember if Billy whooped his ass. I do remember that he can't fight, which is a joke that Dustin keeps making for him because he's 0-7 with the women in the mall. He's also like 0-4 with winning a fight in this series, which is why when he actually wins a fist fight in this finally against the Russians, it's a big deal.
Amazing. He won the fight.
It's a really big deal. This is like you finally knocked somebody out. And he was honestly losing that fight until he knocked that person out. It was blood sport. So I felt bad for him. Maybe next season he'll finally reach his Van Damme-ism. I don't know. But he's definitely getting handled.
So. I'm here for it. I'm here for the next season that's coming because it's going to be so good. But I really appreciated the element that Robin brought to the story because she helped move it forward. She helped solve things. And what I also appreciated was how well Erica fit into this as the foil, but was still useful. Like her and her friends coming to the mall, and when she sees her brother... That scene where she was like, can you die?
you know they got that from her, like off of a couple of moments last season where all she did was crack jokes and she was the immediate breakout star of season two. Everybody was like, listen, if y'all coming back for season three, we're gonna need more Erica, because Erica is like, we like Caleb, we really do. Luke, like Caleb is great as Lucas, but if you happen to replace him with Erica in this group, we won't be mad, because she'll still have like five other nerds to clown and call nerds. But her comebacks and her quips and her energy, her fucking energy is so consistent through this whole shit. It's like, we almost died and I'm still talking shit to y'all. Like, I'm scared right now and I'm still talking shit to y'all.
Operation Child Endangerment is perfect.
And when Dustin breaks down to her that she's a nerd, and all of the reasons that she's a nerd, and she's like nerdy enough to realize she's a nerd, I was like, listen, just accept it.
She's a different kind of nerd, though.
Oh, hell yeah. No, she's the type of nerd I am.
No, she's the kind of nerd that doesn't care that she's a nerd. Because she's like, this is what I'm into. This is what I like. Fuck you if you don't like it. Well, she wouldn't. I think at some point she's going to start dropping F-bombs.
Well, she's...
That's the next level for her.
She's absolutely the type of nerd that I was. Like, I didn't read comic books. And I didn't... Right. I played video games, but I played, like, fighting games. I didn't play, like, role-playing games. I played fighting games and sports games. Typical black gamer shit. I played basketball outside every day. I had a crew that I hung out with. We did stupid shit. We got in fucking trouble. I didn't read comics. I wasn't heavy into, like, movie culture. I watched movies, but I didn't, like, analyze them and shit. I didn't do shit with computers, but download illegal music. I just knew how to do it, though. Those little subtle things I didn't realize were nerd things until I got to college. And then somebody was like, yo, you should build computers. And I was like, man, that's nerd shit. And then I was like, wait, but I can build a computer. And then somebody was like, yo, you should do an operating system. And I was like, the fuck is that? And then I sat down in front of it. I was like, oh, I know what this is. This is easy. I could figure this out. And slowly, I was like, oh, shit. I'm a nerd.
See, I wasn't, I'm not a nerd in the sense that, you're right. I read comic books, but I read like Red Sonja.
That's nerd shit,
like X-Men.
That's nerd shit. That's nerd shit. See, black people have been trying
to. But not all the time. time, okay? Like, I mean, I was into things. I was into things growing up. I love movies.
Listen, that's some nerd shit if you love the Never Ending Story, okay, Cook?
I love the Never
Ending. Some nerd shit.
I love that. I don't care. I showed that movie to my daughter, and when she loved it, I almost, like, I was moved, like, almost shed a tear because I was so happy she liked it and would watch it repeatedly. And I was like, yes, this is how I watch it too. And I love movies. I love musical.
You love music. Like, you love 90s hip hop music, hardcore, and you know the facts. You are a fucking nerd. And that was something that I also didn't acknowledge either, because I'm not a 90s hip hop head, but I'm definitely a 2000s mixtapes hip hop head. Like, I know my shit. And when I was like, oh shit, knowing shit makes you a nerd. Like, knowing it to the degree that I know it makes you a nerd.
Yes, because like I used to do my research on the story. It was more than just knowing the music. I wanted to know. I wanted to know the sample. I did go back, like, if my dad had the album, I would go back and listen to the album so that I could be versed in the sample and the breakdown of the beat.
That's nerd. Some strong nerd. Like, you're Erica.
I'm a weed nerd.
Erica's
weed. Listen, I can sit and talk about weed all day. I can tell you what types there are, the different types of flavors, the strength. I can go into that. Yes.
Yeah, Erica is you. That's your representation in the 80s. That's young you. That's young you.
This young man. Yes, you cannot spell America without Erica. And she was like, you know what this is? This is capitalism, okay? And what I have is something you need. That's a commodity. I was like, bitch, talk your shit. She's a policy wonk. She's totally going to like be a senator. She has to grow up to be a senator.
No, she
knows,
amazing.
Or a businesswoman. She knows her shit.
And they made her a strong character. Again, there aren't any weak women this season outside of maybe Karen Wheeler and her obsession with trying to get some Billy Dick. Like, other than that, the other female character, like, even Max is a stronger character this season, and she was already strong dealing with the abuses of her brother last season. She's always been like a strong skateboarder type. She's stronger. She's stronger in this season, and she makes Elle stronger because that girlfriend camaraderie that they develop, which was gonna happen because math,
yes,
was dope. Like, I like the fact that they spy on the guys, right? But they also see like how stupid dudes are. The whole farting shit was hilarious. I was like, yes, this is how dumb your boyfriend is. Like, when you're around him by yourself, he's the greatest thing ever. When he gets around his dumb friends, the dumb is contagious, and they all do stupid shit.
I appreciated them figuring out their relationships. Like, Lucas and Max, I think, is cute. It took me a minute to get into it because I didn't trust Max for a long time.
For real? I like Max. I always like
I her. Mean, she's Billy's sister. She could have went either way for me.
I feel
she's
you.
She's a ginger. I don't trust her.
I didn't think they leaned too far into it, though, with her. I don't know what, like they had all these kissing scenes between, and I'm not saying I want to see them have kissing scenes with kids, because I always think that it's awkward when I see it in shows and films and stuff. Like, somebody is directing that. An adult is directing that. But when I looked at it this season, I'm like, they literally have like a 10-minute kissing scene between Elle and Mike, and you don't see any affection really between Lucas and Max, which I'm trying to figure out if that makes less sense or more sense for their age. If it makes more sense that
they're backing off the storyline.
Right. See, and I was weird about that too, because I did feel like they kind of like pushed Lucas to the side a bit. Like, he was only relevant for Mike's issues. Mm-hmm. But his sister was way more relevant than he was this season. So I'm kind of like, did they kind of trade in a black character for a black character? But they did it in such a good way that it's not offensive?
Well, I feel like Lucas and Will both were not the focus of this season. Like, Will was there only to advance their coming or when they're near. And the fright, if you will.
Well, he was Elle's chains. Plot. He was 11's chains this season, and they were like, dude, you have to let her make. You can't continue to just protect her. Like, you're used to that role. You're used to protecting her.
And no, not Mike. I'm talking Will.
Oh, Will. I thought Will. They of course they used him as an out character, which I always knew Will was gay. Or could probably be gay.
And I don't think so. I think Will has seen some shit.
No, Will's gay.
Will has seen some shit. No, and he's just like, you guys want to be hugged up and you're worried about this shit. It doesn't matter if you get a girlfriend or not. If we're all dead. I mean, like, that's Will to me.
That's
Will got PTSD.
That's true.
He didn't read as gay to me.
No, he is gay, Cook. He said they had a whole conversation about it. He's absolutely gay. Like one,
they did. I missed. Wait, what
him
happened?
And Mike. When him and Mike had to fight about the D&D, and Will exploded and ran out into the rain, and Mike said to him, "Dude, I know you don't understand why I like girls because, you know, like
I did see that. What am I saying? I did see Will's, that. Why did I forget?
But I mean,
that?
Look at Will. He's sensitive. The haircut, the way he acts, like he always wants to spend time just with the guys. He doesn't. Like, I get. He's definitely, and he has a thing for Mike.
He did say that.
Like when Mike, when Mike him, when dude. Mike okay. and Eleven, when they went to the field with Dustin and Mike and Eleven, like up 4 o'clock, we got to go home before it gets dark. And everybody like, but it don't get dark till 8. Will is looking at them run away down the hill, which literally looks like a green prairie. And he's looking with envy because he likes Mike. Like him and Mike are friends, but he also likes Mike. So when they had that conversation
later, I always
read
that as Will. You know, okay, I do remember the scene when he ran out into the rain, and maybe I took a smoke break at that moment. That's why I forgot. I don't know why I can't remember that. But he did say it. And my whole thing was, I always looked at, well, Will was very close to his mom. His dad wasn't around. So he was, very in tune with his feelings and sensitive. And I felt like his friends gave him a source. They were a source of comfort for him.
No, they definitely were. Like, you weren't wrong in seeing that. But they did put stuff in the show. They did have lingering stares and kind of.
And I look past all of that shit because I always felt that Will was just damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I always looked at him as he went through this traumatic, horrific thing where he was in the upside down world and it was so toxic. And then he had to get all that stuff out of his body. And then they came back. So I was just thinking Will has just always been on edge. And I totally missed the dynamic between him and Mike, but it does make sense in a way, but
They addressed it. So they went ahead and they did the women's thing. They did the smart little black girl thing. So, magical black people. They did the, who also talks shit. So she's a comic relief as well. They did the lesbian thing. They did the gay thing, homosexual thing. They were making sure to address these topics and put them in the show. And I don't think they didn't try to hide them. They made them conversations that happened during literally the world. This town being attacked by a being from another dimension that is sentient and set on destroying mankind, or at least taking over our bodies because it was trapped here. Mm-hmm. Right. So and it didn't make it Will's fault this time. Right. Will's done his part in helping this monster advance on our race. Will's now broken. Will is now just like the spidey sense person of the group, which is good because now he is significantly more important than before, I think, because before they were constantly having to save him. And this time he's the one that's like, listen, I don't give a fuck how y'all feel. I'm telling you, my ears are ringing. My neck is pulsing. That monster is like outside the door. We need to get out of here.
Right.
And he's stronger this season, too. I like that they made him a stronger character this season. Because him being one of the tallest kids in the group, we can't have him just hunched over, lingering around all over the place. Like, his physical form is developing. Let's give this man some actual strength in the story and for the character to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can't just be quivering in the background. He's some awkward-ass developing kids, too.
It's painfully awkward, but this is also what makes it so realistic.
It's the boys, really. Like, the girls look fine. Like, the girls' advances, they're fine. They fit. The guys look so weird. Long arms, slinky legs, hunched over back. Like, just awkward-looking ass kids. And I'm like, yo, boys going through puberty is some funny shit to watch.
You know, it's awkward. It's painful to watch, and it's awkward. But that's how it was. But the thing is that girls go through I think girls' development is way more internal than boys, because you guys have,
I can see that.
You know, we have our outward changes, just like you have yours, but you know, you've got your voice cracking, you've got your, you know, your balls literally drop, and all that kind of stuff. And so for us, we have a lot more internalized development because it is extremely emotional.
I can see it. I can definitely see it.
When you deal with your cycle, you know, like to you know, prepare your body to go to menstruate once a month, that's a lot.
Question. What is up with white people believing shit that don't make absolutely no sense? Like, they said that woman who kept that rat and ended up getting body snatched, they said that
she had Alzheimer's or schizophrenia?
They said she was bipolar, and that's why she was eating fertilizer. And I'm like, but y'all ain't gonna question why she not dead from eating a bag of fertilizer? Like, she should be absolutely dead. All the way dead.
I was over how they handled that whole situation when they said that, because I was like, if y'all don't go get that old lady. And the hospital scene, that was really good.
Yes, it was.
That's when you see the thing,
the full entity, creature come together. Yep.
And it was just enough. Well, it wasn't over. It wasn't overkill. It was just enough. Like, it was the great mix of sci-fi and fright.
It was also this is how big this creature is when it comes from two of the people. So how big is that shit underground, where they've been sacrificing people to it the whole season, and you get to see all how big it is.
Yeah.
The whole tentacles thing too was just, oh my God. Can you imagine if, like, usually once you cut off one tentacle, you don't have to worry about any more face sucking, but this thing just had an unlimited amount of fucking tentacles. The scene where Elle is holding back two tentacles, I was like, y'all know it's a third tentacle coming, right? Like, it's coming. Her holding back too is not going to stop him from sending four more her way. And then when the scene where Billy dies and he literally gets face suckered all over his body by like six tentacles. I was like, this absolutely could have happened to Elle 3 episodes ago.
It legit. Like, when they were in the cabin, that was another good fighting scene where the tentacle, like, it's just coming through. And when it grabbed her, and they cut it off, I knew there was going to be something lingering in there. That was cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me just enough of, like, the willies.
I love how they let her use her power to do it. So there were moments throughout this season where I was going, why don't you just do this? And then they did it. And I was like, thank you. Because, like, when the show started, me and Ashley were watching together. And I said to Ashley, I was like, you know what's crazy? After 2 seasons of your child being abducted by a creature from another dimension in the upside down world, and then that creature coming back and trying to take your child again, never thought to move? Like, never thought that maybe we just shouldn't be here? And literally, like, 10 minutes later, Hopper is talking to Joyce. He's like, so I heard you guys are putting the house up for sale, which also went with me noticing that their house was clean as fuck this season, and their house has always looked like a hot ass mess. I was like, oh, that's why her house is clean as shit, because look, somebody was listening to my mind, somebody heard my thoughts, because why the fuck would you stay in this town? It's time to go. Like, nobody should still be here after what's happened. If you know what's going down, why are we staying close to the hole, to the portal hole? Like, let's go somewhere else. So I like that they did that with Joyce's character. I thought Joyce and Hopper, because then you might as well just combine them at this point, because it's a buddy cop film. It's Lethal Weapon with them. And I kind of like the fact that they brought this Russian doctor, Alexei, into the mix. And then they added, what is the other guy's name? I had his name.
Oh, the guy from the other season with the beard and the glasses and
Yes, but I should know his name. I feel like it's like Tobin or something like that.
It is something like that.
I am messing up. And of course, they don't have his name in the credits listed properly from what I can see. Yeah, I don't see his name listed here. Sean Astin. They got Sean's name, but they don't have
Bob! And he still got Paul Reiser. No, it's Brett Gellum. He was Murray.
Is it Brett Gellum? Okay, my bad. So yeah, okay, Murray. So Brett Gellum. I don't know why I thought it was Tobin. But yeah, I like the
way. And the guy right here, Rob Morgan, the officer, that's the dude from Luke Cage, right?
That's the dude from all the Marvel films that's always selling them some shit when they need to get it off the street. Yes.
Boom, I knew that was him.
He's always connected somehow. Like, he is Hustle Man for the Marvel. Yes!
And he was showing up to... He was over Hopper this season.
Bruh, he is done. Like, he's done. But they stuck Hopper, Joyce, Alexi, and the Paul guy together. You said Murray. So and Murray together. Mm-hmm. And I like that Murray is scared of Russians because it's that time period. I like that Alexi mm-hmm. is in love with Cherry Slurpees because he's a weird... Like, he doesn't have any allegiance. He's doing this shit because they're forcing him to do it. And I'm glad that they don't give him, like, this this nationality type of allegiance to the Russian cause. He's like, nah, bro, like, I saw what happened to the last doctor who fucked up, and I'm not trying to get put in that chokehold. So I'm just doing what the fuck you're telling me to do. I don't want to get choked by Arnold Schwarzenegger B. Like, nah, I'm good. Mm. Or let's call Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't want to get choked out by Arnold Schwarzenegger, bro. Like,
I thought that was that when Hopper fought him for the first time, I could tell Hopper was pissed. Oh my God.
Yeah, but see, Hopper just annoys me at times because there was many mm-hmm. moments where Hopper should have just shot this guy. Because there are a mm-hmm. lot of moments where Hopper does stuff that is illegal as fuck. And it, at one point, Joyce is like, when he goes in, he beats up Robin Hood for Men in Tights. When he goes in and beats that man up in his mm-hmm. office.
And Carrie Elwes.
Yeah, and his secretary picks up the phone to call somebody. Joyce is like, who the fuck you about to call? The police? He's the chief of the police. Like, what you going to end up calling him? So later in the film, when Hopper doesn't shoot this Russian, you know, T-1000 or T-T1 or whatever the fuck, you know, when he doesn't shoot Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm like, why aren't you shooting him? You're the chief of police. You can just, if he was a black person, you would have shot his ass by now. Let's just be real. You should shoot him in both legs and leave him down there. Okay? Like, there's no reason for you to be holding a gun to him. Like, because you can't win against him in a fight. So why are we doing this? Use what you have. Use your privilege. The one time you need to use your privilege, you don't want to use it. You're going to shoot a big, swole-ass Russian man. You're going to shoot the man that beat Rocky, that beat Apollo Creed to death. You don't want to shoot him in the legs?
If he dies, he dies.
I don't get it. That was one of my only, like, hold-ups this season. I was like, Hopper is constantly getting his ass whooped or getting chased by somebody. And I'm like, bruh, use your guns.
Hopper had a donkey butt.
I don't know nothing about that. That's your commentary.
So. I'm telling you now, Hopper definitely had a rump on him, and I was over it. So here's the thing with Hopper. Hopper was a guy who's dealt with tragedy in his life, and he's, you know, been very shut off and not isolated, but.
No, he's an alcoholic. Absolutely, he's an alcoholic.
Oh, no, he's an alcoholic, but emotionally, he's also very, what is the word?
Testosterone.
Shut down. There's a wall around him. Guarded. Yes.
Yeah.
Guarded and all kinds of stuff, hence the drinking.
Well, Meyer pointed that out. Murray pointed that out when he was like, some woman broke your heart, not a dime. You and Joyce just need to fuck already because you both have built up sexual tension.
And I'm getting there. Okay. Because I felt like his struggle with Elle to, you know, want to care about her, but resisting the urge to care about her just the same, but not wanting to see her, you know, fall into, you know, some silly love trap with Mike, you know, were the character's attempts at being fatherly.
No, I love those scenes, but they knew what they were going to do to him this season too, so they needed to build that relationship up a lot stronger. And I like the relationship that him and Elle had developed last season, because he doesn't know what he doesn't know how to be a father, and she doesn't know how to be a kid. She's a lab experiment, right? So they're both kind of learning how to fit into to these roles that they've now been thrown into together, and they develop a relationship. And I like that all of the moments where Elle is using her powers and stuff to do things. There are moments where she checks in on him, you know, mm-hmm. and then there's the last scene of them together, and there's the little note The whole the little boyfriend girlfriend romance, the scene with Mike in the car where he acts like the crazy dad. I'm like, this is like a John Goodman from the 80s, early 90s moment. I appreciate this. So I like what they did with Hopper's character this season. And I like they didn't just make it like Hopper has to save the day, right? They just kind of were like, there are three different stories going on. And there's Dustin and Steve and Erica and them trapped in the Russian facility. There's Joyce, Hopper, Murray, and Alexi trying to get to this facility to turn these keys after they find out the information that the portal has been reopened. And then there's Mike, Lucas, Max, L, Nancy, and Jonathan. That's a huge group. And they are fighting the monster, literally alone. They are the only ones that are aware that this monster is here. Right? And there's something going on with Billy and these other people.
Let me tell you, with Hopper this season, we and Joyce, and I'm just going to get right in there. I need them to stop killing these men around Joyce. It's just too much. It's just too much. First, they stole her son. Then they bring Bob in. I really liked Bob. I really did like Bob.
And
they really murdered the shit out of Bob. Well, they killed the shit out of Bob.
But they watched it too.
Died.
Like they didn't just watch. They didn't just murder the shit out of it. They watched it. Nobody shot that Gorgon off of him when he was getting ate out. I was like, does Joyce really love him? Because they just left him there.
I think she was just shocked. Like, and I don't think anyone was good enough a shot to shoot at the thing and not shoot Bob.
Listen. I feel you. Sean Austin hasn't like gotten the greatest role selections in the last couple of years, but him as Bob on, you know, here after that, this is his best. This is the best thing he's done since being Frodo's friend.
Did you watch The Strain?
That did not watch The Strain. No,
he was in The Strain. Well, he was like in the first two seasons of the first season of The Strain. He didn't fare too well on that show either. Strain is just disgustingly good. If you like gore and gross shit, watch it.
I might check it out now that it's done. Because now that it's finished, if they throw it up on something, then I can just binge through all of it.
I think it might be on Hulu.
I think
but it didn't end well. I'll just warn you. It's not as bad as Dexter, but
I heard that the last couple of seasons weren't great and I could never get in their room at Comic-Con, which always pissed me off. So I was like, I want to get in there. But I never could. Them nor Legion. I can never get in Legion's room either, which upsets me.
I want to check Legion out.
I think it looks great. I've heard it's good. It's always gotten high praise. I just don't think it was ever pushed or marketed well. And I also think that people are kind of just like over X-Men properties, even though because The Gifted wasn't bad either. The Gifted was a good show, but I think people are like, Bryan Singer kind of just fucking ruined the X-Men properties. And people were just over it. People were like, listen, we need a break. We need time. It's been 20 years of just good X-Men TV shows and terrible X-Men films. Like, we're over it. Mm. We don't have it in our system anymore. Sorry. We're depleted.
They need to just go back and animate the X-Men. Let's be animated.
So,
that Saturday morning X-Men cartoon was the best.
So who did we... I guess we can end on Millie. I mean, not Millie. Millie Bobby Brown or 11.
We can talk about her bonding with Max because I don't even have a lot to say about Max.
I mean, Max was just there to teach her how to be a young woman, and I thought she did a good job at that.
And I appreciated the scene at the mall with them. And yes, the romper she had, I'm totally gonna buy one. Someone found a link to all of the outfits that she wore. And I was like, if they have one in my size, I'm buying one.
I mean, Millie kind of rocked it. When she showed up, and I was like, oh, Millie just grew up like 2 years. She definitely is. Mike is about to see what he's lost. Why you shouldn't lie to your girl. Because she could switch it up on you in a hot second and leave your ass in the past.
I know. And Hopper did all that stuff. And I thought the scenes with Mike and 11, I thought they were cute. They were a little, sometimes it was like gag guys coming for air, but it was It was appropriate. That's usually how it is. You know, your first time, your first love, like, you guys are always together. You never want to be apart until you become an adult. And then you're like, okay, I need space.
Well, it's like all Hopper wanted was for her to keep the door open 3 inches. That's it.
They're still making out.
I know. And then pretending they weren't. Yeah. I also like that, but I think that Eleven has been so confident in the last two seasons in her power and what she's been able to do and how strong she is. And she is insanely strong, which is why this thing wanted her after a while. It was like, yo, I need to take over her body because she got powers and shit. But ultimately, we saw her limits. And I like that we started to see her limits, because even though Mike was being overprotective, he wasn't wrong in why he was doing it. Mike was like, listen, you guys just can't keep using her up like this. Like, she is a person. She drains. Like, she literally bleeds from her nose if she uses her powers to close a door. We're asking her to use her powers to pick up a creature that's like 120 feet tall and a mile span wide. Like, we need to chill out and we need to help her more when we can, because we can't just rely on her. And there are scenes where they just rely on Elle to do shit, and they don't react until she's literally about to be ripped in half. You know what I'm saying? Like, in those moments, I'm like, y'all kind of looking a bit too long. Like, the scene where they were locked Billy in the room, and everybody's just watching Billy choke the shit out of her. I was like, yo, can somebody grab something and smack him in the back of his head? Oh, there's Mike. Okay, thank you. Finally, somebody did it.
That's probably something they're going to work up to. That it would make more sense if they did it more next season, because they've had time to practice their hands to fight.
I feel you.
You see what I'm saying? I think now they're still kind of in that, even though you're right, this is like the third season, is the third time you've had to fight some alien entity. You're not rookies anymore. You know, definitely get into the game. But Mike had to be said. And I think those are the kinds of scenes and moments that make the show a lot more realistic and enjoyable, because they have a way of showing them struggle through their development. So you see it, and it makes sense when they kind of get to certain places. Like, you know, Steve just won his first fight.
Yeah.
So... all makes sense that, you know, they still hesitate a little bit. But you're right. By the next season, we should see a little bit more response, hero response from them. Like, you know what to do. Jump in there, mix it up.
Well,
just saying, nobody wants to end up like Bob either.
Oh, God. My poor Bob. She is aware of her abilities to an extent, but she's never met a foe stronger than her. And for her to meet this foe that not only is physically stronger than her and can combat with her on that level in reality, but in the upside down world, in the unconscious world, the dream state, he's also a foe there now too. Like, he's watching her use her powers against him to fully understand and encompass them, to then use his powers against her on her battleground. And that's a problem. And I like what they did with that, with the whole going into people's memories and actually being interactive.
No, I was going to say, they definitely enhanced Elle's abilities. And at some point, and this is my theory, it's going to come out that maybe Elle is the creator of that world. Some on a metaphysical level somehow. Because when she was able to communicate, to watch Billy, you know, when he was happy, you know, the last time he was happy, and just kind of see how he came to be who he was, you know, like the whole situation with his mother. And then, you know, one day his dad brings Max home, like, this is your sister. And he's like, fuck is this? You know, it's just like, and the interesting part, like, did you catch how when he brought Max to him that she wasn't a baby?
Oh, no, he had an affair. He was having an affair. That Max is from another family.
Yeah.
I was like, oh
yeah, like Max is like, his mom just died and he brings his sister around, and she wasn't an infant, she was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, because Steve was only like 8, or like he was like 7 or 8. So yeah, like, yeah, he didn't have a sister up until like him and his mom was out surfing in waves, and he was like 7 inches, look, or 7 feet, and like now you're bringing home this little girl that's like 3 feet tall, and I'm like, my man was not only beating the shit out of his wife, But he also had a whole nother family. Like, he was stepping mm-hmm. all the way out.
Yep.
And brought home this little redheaded child. Okay. Like, she really mm-hmm. is a redheaded stepchild. That's wild. And Billy had to deal with that on top of the abuse that he was receiving from his father. And how much you mm-hmm. want to bet he yeah. treated Max better than him? Like, he probably yeah. he probably liked Max's mom. Like, mm-hmm. Max was the... Billy was the doughboy of this family, and she was the Ricky.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's why he kind of was treating her like shit last season, so she scared the fuck out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, shout out to the reverse Sandlot shit, where they did the whole pool lifeguard thing, but Steve was the hot one. I mean, Billy was the hot one at the pool.
Yeah.
I was like, this is absolutely a Sandlot moment. But this is a Sandlot moment for women. So cool.
That was very progressive.
And the end of this, y'all, is crazy. Like, just the attack on the mall, I thought was dope. Lucas got to use his slingshot. Elle is basically struggling and ultimately is saved by the person that's been trying to kill her the whole movie. Billy's car, RIP Billy's car. Jonathan actually showed us that he's smarter than he looks. When that monster stops chasing him and he goes back, you get your never ending story moment, which is a great wrap up. And then they leave town. And I'm wondering, for the next season, do we follow them or do we bring them? Do we suck them back in?
I'm happy to let it all play out. At this point, I trust the producers.
Right. Or do we go to Russia? I trust the dude. Like, what's coming? I was like, or do we go to Russia? Like, what's going on? What's going to happen?
Yeah, well, okay, so that part. I need to know how the Russians got involved in all of this. It's like, so here's my theory. I think the Russians are trying to harness power. They think there's some type of power there, or they want to harness the entity and use it as a weapon militarily or however against their foes, because I think Russians are Boris and Natasha enough to try some shit like that. And then I just want answers as to why they're there and how this all works.
I agree. And I think
I don't think they left the state of Indiana. Maybe they just went to like three towns over.
That would be stupid, but sure. That would be absolutely dumb. But again,
they're just not in Hawkins.
Okay. How is Hawkins still in Hawkins? Like, at this point, the whole military, like, that's where they should just put Area 51, right in Hawkins. Because clearly, this is where we need to do our science and our exploration for unknowns. And known
but
unknowns
whole
and unknown
cover
unknowns.
Story, like current affairs style news coverage thingy they did.
Yeah,
I needed more. I want them to go back. I want them to go back because I want to. I'm sorry. Before this is all said and done, I want to redo with Barb and Bob. I want them back. I know they're gone. I know they're dead.
She wants time travel.
I want a flashback where I get at least an episode of them.
I think the closest we're going to get to time travel is that whole Back to the Future conversation and the explanation and the whole why is the title this, but yeah. So yeah, ultimately though, we'll have to wait until season 4. So I think that season 3 was fucking phenomenal. And I think that you think season 3 was fucking phenomenal. So I'm ready for season 4. Like, I am here, and I don't know if it's going to be next year or the year after, because these kids are going through puberty. So you don't have a lot of time if you're trying to keep them kids. Maybe they'll come back as young adults. Maybe it'll be like Young Avengers or some shit. I don't know, but I can't wait to see.
Because, yeah, like, Lucas is, like, in real life, he's, like, 16, 17 years old.
Ashley pointed out the fact, too, that he got his little man muscles. He out here, like, playing basketball and lifting weights in the gym. He's, like, playing football or something. Because he's the only one of those kids that actually has muscles. Like, the rest of them are clearly play D&D for real in real life. They move chess pieces.
Listen, Mike had a growth spurt, you know, so he's getting a little taller. And Dustin, did he have... So are his teeth prosthetics, or is it really he has that thing where his teeth haven't grown in yet?
So Ashley was saying that she thinks they are... I think she either said... they're growing in currently, or Yeah, because in the show, when he when Dustin pulls his teeth out, they're like not fully teeth yet. They're emerging mm-hmm. as teeth. I think Ashley said yeah. they were growing it. But that's just like, look at Hopper. So you said Hopper has a donkey butt. But you realize Hopper played, what's the name? Hellboy. Like shirtless. So mm-hmm. Hopper is not in that shape mm-hmm. right now that he's in Stranger Things. So they shot this a while ago. Like
Hopper was in was the new Hellboy?
Yes.
Hopper I did not know that.
Hellboy. David Harbour is the new Hellboy in that terrible ass Hellboy movie. Like that came out a couple months ago.
Oh my god. Okay.
So go
that
look at that.
A whole prosthetic suit.
Go look at that and then look at Harbour in this show and you're like, oh, this was months ago. So all right, y'all. I think that's pretty much it. We covered a lot. I think we covered enough. I think we covered everything. And y'all can cover the rest by going to watch season three of Stranger Things, 8 episodes on Netflix. And yeah, Cook, thank you for joining me. Cause as usual, you always have a great perspective on these things, a little bit more down to earth, round the way perspective when watching this stuff. Let your nerd hang out.
Yes.
Yeah. And go ahead and give me the information for your show or what they can do for now until you're ready to give them information for whatever's coming.
So, all right. So you can always catch me on IG at Cook_Simmons. I do a lot of shit posting, but it's fun times. And you can also catch me, well, occasionally on Twitter at the Cook and Gooch. Also, you can catch us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere where your RSS radio feeds are found. I'll be posting a few episodes sparingly, but we have new content, new information on the way on new episodes. It's all coming soon. Going to be really excited to get that out to you all. I think you're going to like it. So looking forward to talking with y'all some more, but just got to get in this kitchen and chef it up real quick. And as soon as I'm done, I'll bring you what you need, you know?
Cool beans. All right. And y'all already know what the deal is. Y'all listening to Premium. So y'all already did all the extra work. Thank you very much. We'll holler at y'all next time. We've got some other reviews coming. I'm letting y'all know right now. I don't know if you're hearing this before or after, but the X-Men 1-3 review that Deidre and I are doing or did will be one you need to. I'm going to fuck off. So make sure y'all check it out if you haven't. And if you heard it, thank you for listening. And let me know if I went off enough. So then we'll holler at y'all. Peace.
All right. Thanks.